is up, everybody, and welcome back to Tailgate Talks. It's been a minute since we've been with you guys. The off-season news has been slow. There has been a lot of basketball news to talk about, football news. Baseball hasn't been playing well. And so we've decided to kind of enjoy some time off. Dustin went and saw some Savannah Bananas, some party animals, and the Rangers this past weekend. How was that? Just real quick, I know you want to talk about it later on.
Lots of baseball, lots of good baseball, lots of fun baseball. Yeah, I'll touch on more of it in the final shot. I figured I'd wear all my stuff today.
Yeah, he's decked out, party animal shirt, Rangers, Josh Young jersey, Savannah Banana hat, Josh Young koozie, like every piece of merch. The Josh Young gold trim jersey from, you know, the World Series championship.
Yeah, gold trim. World Series patch over here.
The Rangers continue to lose games, though, and me and Dustin are in attendance.
Yeah, they did. Well,
so that continues to happen. I, however, threw out my back. Me and Dustin were just talking about that before we started recording. So lots going on in our lives that has caused us to not get back on the mics. But we thought we'd check in with how we're feeling on basketball, football, and baseball. So we'll dive into each one of those and then hit our final shots before we get out of here for the week. But I want to welcome y'all back to the tailgate. Today of recording is May 22nd. This will be coming out May 23rd, which will officially be 100 days till football season. So excited for all of that and to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks. It's a slow summer. But we will be recording pods when there's news and when there's stuff to discuss. And so follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, give us those five stars for the tailgate, please. And if you listen to us on Apple, you can kindly leave us a review there. Also follow us on social media. We are on Twitter @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and interacting. When we're at some cool sporting event, you can see where we're sitting. We'll let you know we're in the arena.
That's in the building.
Good photos of the Savannah Bananas game, the Rangers game. So follow our social media there. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and we have a YouTube channel. And lastly, if you have any questions, comments, or anything you'd like us to discuss on the tailgate, you can always shoot us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
We're going to start this thing off right. Raiders! Man, I've been waiting all my life to do that.
All right, Dustin, well, we're back on the mics, and not a lot has happened since we last discussed basketball. I think the last time we had got Elijah Hawkins was our latest transfer portal addition. Since then, there has been no other transfer portal additions, and there has been a couple high school additions. We got Leon Horner. I don't think we talked about him since the last time we've been on, but a three-star recruit who had committed to Texas Tech. The staff had mentioned that you can expect a couple of young guys to come in. And well, the latest addition to the squad is a 24 point guard in Christian Anderson Jr., a four-star point guard out of Oak Hill Academy, comes in standing at 6'1", 165, a little on the smaller end, but was the 116th best player in his class, according to 247 Sports, the 10th best point guard in the class. So that's good. And one of the things I've seen about him that's most talked about is that he might be the best overall shooter in this class. An impressive stat from him last year, shot 49% from three while taking almost over 200 threes last season. So that's pretty damn good if you're able to hit almost 50% of 200 threes. So an impressive shooter, former Michigan commit. He had committed as a sophomore to Juwan Howard, and once Juwan Howard was let go at Michigan, he decided to open his recruitment, and that's why he finds himself at Texas Tech now and a future Red Raider. Dustin, your thoughts on the addition of 24 point guard Christian Anderson Jr.?
Yeah, this is a really good get, especially from what we hear on the inside. Like, should be a legit backup point guard for us as a true freshman. And yeah, I saw the same things. I was reading through some stuff that he's possibly the best point guard shooter in the nation. I know he's 10th overall, whatever that means, but possibly the best shooter. So just adding more shooting is great. But like you said, with Christian and Leon Horner, like adding youth to your depth is key. Yeah. Because you can't just keep adding juniors and seniors to your roster and let everybody play. You know, you got to have some guys like EY last year who gets a few minutes and develops, and hopefully you can keep them here, be some culture guys and develop some dudes over some years. That's also key in this transfer portal era where high school recruiting is kind of secondary now. I was texting some people yesterday in a different group, and one guy was kind of, I don't know, wary about why we're just now, he's just now committing somewhere. I was like, well, he was a Michigan decommit. Yeah. I didn't know that he committed as a sophomore. So that means he's been out of the recruiting cycle for 2 years.
Yep.
You know, most guys are already committed by the end of their junior year, halfway through their senior year at the latest. So that's a big factor. But now, like, once you hit April, all these coaches are worried about the portal first and then high school guys second, really.
Yeah.
Fact of it. So that's why you're just now getting this, you know, middle end of May as a high school transfer who's going to be here maybe in a couple weeks.
I think he reopened his recruitment not too long ago, so he hasn't really been in the open market.
I mean, Jordan Harris got fired, you know, like some of these 2 months ago, not even.
Yeah. So yeah, like that was one of the things in his recruitment video is he was kind of talking about how, or when he committed, he was talking about how it was an odd recruitment because he had been committed for so long. So he hadn't really been talking to a lot of people. And then, so now he gets, you know, into it and he's like, it's exhausting because it, you know, everybody's, you know, you're looking at transfers, but here's a potential like gem that you can find. Hey, we're trying to get younger here. And I think it's a really important pickup. Now it's important on if you can keep him because
also,
that's the most important thing. Nowadays is like, okay, we got this freshman, but is he going to be a sophomore or junior here? You never know. But obviously he's going to be like your backup point guard. You got Elijah Hawkins, who's coming here to be your starter. Who's going to be the guy, but you got to spell him and you got to have a guy who can come out and create plays for other players and can get some shots off. So I expect him to have a pretty good role. I think a little bit of like Kyler Edwards on that 2019 team, right? Came in and gave you some good minutes here or there. Really started to develop. I think he can be that with his shooting ability. He can be a guy who can come in, hit some threes for you, you know, control the ball and get some valuable minutes for you. And hopefully you're able to keep him and this guy becomes your point guard in, you know, down the road. And you don't have to go search the transfer portal and hope you get a guy for 1 year. Maybe you can have this guy for 2-3 years if he really develops into that kind of point guard that you can trust, you know.
Yeah, you got some good points there. And like, I think we had a good selling point on the role he can be here this year and in the future. Like, he doesn't have to play more than 10 minutes a game next year.
Right.
30 for Elijah, 10 for him, give or take in there, basically.
Right. So some games some games he might be filling it, might get 15, you know, something like that.
Not a lot of pressure, really. Like, go in, take care of the ball, learn, kind of like EY tried to do last year. So it's like you got a whole year to develop. You still get some playing time. And then hopefully, like next year it's yours.
Yeah.
If you want it to be.
Yeah, develop, get some very important minutes in the best conference in basketball. Learn from one of the best passers in college basketball.
Yeah, great point.
That's going to be key to his development. Learn from a lot of other really good players on this squad.
Yeah.
Get a little bit bigger. I think, you know, watching him, he's a little on the small side, but, you know, grow a little bit, get a little bit bigger. There's some stories that he might grow into 6'2", 6'3". That'd be really great for you. And so, yeah, this is obviously a really nice pickup. I think all great teams in college basketball have a great mixture of veterans and youth. You need the youth to push the veterans. You need the veterans to help the youth grow. And so I think these are Leon Horner and Christian Anderson Jr. are really valuable pickups. And one thing I will note, we kind of texted about this in our group the other day, is everybody who has committed to Grant McCaslin is still on the roster. If you watch every single person that's transferred out, was prior commitments to when he was our coach. Everybody who's committed to playing for him who still has eligibility has stayed. So I think that does give me a little bit of confidence in thinking that, hey, this is a McCaslin guy. Maybe we can get him for 2-3 years. Now, things can change, but that should give you a little bit of confidence that McCaslin can get guys here and keep them. So any other little tidbits you want to give on Mr. Anderson Jr.?
No, I'm glad to see some youth because that was my start to be concerned. I think I talked about it last time of a little too senior heavy at the moment. We need some youth and some guys to take less minutes.
Yeah, you need some bench guys. You know, you need role players and guys who can come in and get you a few minutes. And like you said, when you continue to do older junior seniors, you're just having to replace those guys every single year.
Yeah.
And so if you can get young guys and keep them on board like that, that saves you having to go, you know, hunt in the transfer portal. But hey, Texas Tech is hunting in the transfer portal. So far, we've had some nice additions. We've had Kevin Overton. We've had Feedy times two. Got Elijah Hawkins. And well, right now it's trending that another addition might be. Now we don't want to say we're like 100% sure this is going to happen.
Yeah,
like we
know now. As you say that, it's going to go wrong.
Nowadays in the portal world, things change. But we are hearing that JT Toppin, transfer out of New Mexico, the freshman of the year in the Mountain West Conference, is trending towards committing to Texas Tech. Now, we have been hearing this for about a week, that things have shifted into our favor. I think we upped our NIL offer. I think Grant really wants him and is really in our NIL funding's ears about we need to get this guy. So if he does commit, it's going to be a bag. Just get ready for it. It's going to be a pretty high number. But ultimately, Dustin, where are your thoughts at right now with JT Toppin and this kind of wild back and forth recruitment where he was a Red Raider, then it was UT, then now it's back to Texas Tech?
Yeah, that's exactly my point. It's been a roller coaster few weeks of, you know, JT got in, you know, with a day or two left on portal season.
Yep.
And then he's doing NBA combine stuff to get evaluated.
Still taking meetings, I've heard.
Probably coming back to college after those evaluations.
Yes.
But yeah, then from what we've heard, that's kind of on some message board sites as well, as it's been between us and Texas. So that always makes you nervous, but we really need this guy for one. So I'm glad to hear and kind of see that our coaching staff is really pushing for this guy, because we need help in that front court big time. And JT Toppin would really be a huge, huge, huge addition as kind of a 4-5 type dude. Him and Cambridge could do some real damage at the same time, man. But yeah, fingers crossed that it goes through. Yeah, he will be expensive, but that's what it takes now when you're paying for a top, what is he, like 12th in the portal maybe? I can't remember last time I looked. Like, basically a top 10 portal guy.
Top 10 portal guy, borderline NBA guy. That's what it's going to take, you know?
Like, yeah, and a big. You don't get bigs that are also in all that stuff that you need. Like, there's not a lot of 6'10 plus dudes with this kind of skill set out there. No.
Only a freshman, you know, only has had 1 year, and like, that's a really valuable piece. Now the expectation is you're only going to have him for a year, right? He was already kind of a borderline NBA pick. He can turn himself, you know, with the right kind of season, the right kind of adjustments, the learning in these, you know, the valuable thing of entering the draft process is learning from NBA franchises, what you need to work on, taking that with you and trying to develop that. He'll have this whole summer to work on those, you know, things that he needs to improve on according to NBA teams, and then apply that in the season. And, you know, hopefully all of that comes together. He becomes an NBA lottery draft pick, and that can only mean good things for you if he elevates his game that way. And that's going to mean good things for the Red Raiders and Grant McCaslin and this team next year if he's able to do that. So this is a really exciting pickup. This is a guy you've been linked to since even before he entered the transfer portal. There was a lot of ties. His best friend Jazz Henderson Jr. is on the squad.
Right.
He's a Dallas area kid, so he's got that Buff connection. And so the writing has been on the wall for this. I think we got lost in the great Osabor and Trezarian White recruitments, and maybe Toppin felt like he was getting neglected on that, or maybe his agent just used Texas to try to get more of a bag from us. I'm not really certain on all the details. There's some theories out there, but this would be a massive win for this staff. Would be a huge addition to this team, and obviously I think cements you as a contender in the Big 12, and then you kind of see how else you fill out this roster. Any other Toppin thoughts?
No, my only thing is, like, even if you get them, I mean, it puts yourself in a very good position in the conference to compete. But like I said to our group and to some other people, conference is so top heavy next year. It's crazy. Like, you have at least four top 10 teams, and you could be the fifth if you get a guy like Toppin.
Yeah.
So you might have a worse record than last year, but a way better team.
Yeah, it's going to be an onslaught. In the Big 12 conference announced there's going to be 20 league games. So you're adding two league games to, you used to play 18 and no bye week. So there's not like a week where you get a Tuesday or a Wednesday off. No, you're playing two really good basketball teams every single week this upcoming season. And so you need teams, and you still got room. You know, if you get Toppin, I'm not sure his commitment, process here. I'm not sure how much longer we're going to wait. May 29th is the last day that you can withdraw your name from the NBA draft. So I don't know if he's waiting till the 29th to withdraw. We've heard that we were expecting maybe something this week. We haven't got anything yet, but so not sure on his timeline, but obviously something to pay super close attention to. The way it's trending right now is I expect him to be a Red Raider in this coming year. Another player to keep an eye on, and this is another interesting situation. He's another kid who's been tied to us for a little bit. He entered the transfer portal, Jalen Wells. He's a forward out of Washington State, 6'8". Connections are he's like best friends with Darian Williams. That's pretty much like the connection. They played a lot of AAU ball together back in the day. Jalen Wells is also a guy who entered his name in the NBA draft process, so he's still going through that right now. But Trilly Donovan, if y'all aren't aware of Trilly Donovan, he's a well-connected source. I don't know how he has all these sources. I don't know who he is. Nobody knows. It's the biggest mystery in college basketball. But he has said that if Jalen Wells decides to not pursue his NBA basketball dreams this year and goes back to college, that Texas Tech is the favorite to land him. Now, there is a lot of discussion around it because the money that Toppin's getting, from what we're hearing, is I don't know if we'll be able to offer Jalen Wells the most lucrative NIL deal that he could probably find elsewhere. But reports are that his dad really wants him to be here. He does really want to play with Darian Williams, that Texas Tech is the favorite. Maybe we'll find the finances to fund this if you can get the donors. There was a convenient Matador Club post yesterday.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those last few days.
That was an important time to invest in the Matador Club. And so maybe I have heard from sources in the Scarlet and Black Insider, from the guys RC, Jacob, Austin Massey, that landing both is a possibility. Dustin, your thoughts on the possibility of not only landing JT Toppin, but another pro prospect, another guy who's going to be a really big get in Jalen Wells.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this. I'm glad you explained a lot there. And I still haven't followed up on it just because, like you kind of said, he's also a secondary option to Toppin. I don't know if they're same position or this and that, but yeah, the biggest
thing
there is
more of a four, I think.
Which is really what we need. Big time. And basically, that's what your Devin Cambridge is, and he won't be available till January-ish for you.
He posted a video the other day of him 360 dunking it, so.
Oh, seems fine to me then.
So maybe his timeline's a little more accelerated.
But yeah, a couple things there. Like you mentioned, the money isn't going to be there for him. And
yeah, that's my – yeah.
Whether he really wants that or basketball, it's weighing more on the basketball side from us at this point. You have seen guys take lesser bags to go join some teams like in Alabama or some other places just to play with people or see the roster construction. And that's what's good about now is you can kind of see what the roster looks like, where you fit in, what maybe the end goal looks like with this team as a guy like this.
Yeah.
And that's also where I'm at is, I don't know, fringe starter.
Oh, he'd be a starter.
So starter, that means Kamer just coming off the bench later.
So if you land,
that's the thing, well, is like you got some roles that are going to be shifting a little bit.
It would, but the selling point is, hey, if you land Wells, this is a potential, like this is a potential Final Four caliber team. If you land Toppin and Wells, like
and
you
Wells.
Would have the depth would be impressive on this roster. You have
right.
a lot of guys like you. I would be like, all right, do I buy San Antonio, you know, Final Four tickets now, or do I wait? You know, that's what landing Wells would be. And that could be the selling point. Like, all right, we got Toppin, who's a projected lottery pick next year. We get you, who could also be another NBA draft pick. Y'all play together. Y'all run that, like, Kevin O'Banner, Bryson Williams, 4-5 kind of thing that we did with Mark Adams a couple years ago.
Backup, you got Devin Cambridge coming in to give him rest. Like, so your drop-off is very little.
Very little. Who knows how EY develops? Who knows what feed he can bring? You got a 7-footer who can come in basically and be your shot block guy.
You
got Darian Williams, who's
Emily and redshirt him, which he really needs.
And like Darian Williams could end up actually being your best player next year too, which would be like it's just like I don't know. Like I get super excited thinking of the possibility of these. I don't want to get too excited because we've been cautioned on the money side of this, but. The hope is that he cares more about
basketball
and not getting a bag, and maybe that improves our chances here. But Trilly hasn't said anything other than like he expects Tech, and that's like still on Scarlet Black. They're still saying like they from what they've heard, they're saying that they think it's possible. So
that'd be amazing. And then I'm looking at Ryan Mainville's, you know, player chart. It's probably my favorite thing to keep track of with all this. And so we have 3 scholarships left. So Toppin would get you down to 2. And Wells would get you down to 1. And maybe that would complete the roster at this moment. Save that 1. Or go after another young high school type kid if there's any out there that you want.
Yeah.
But that could almost do it right there if you can score both those guys.
Yeah, I don't really – if you score both of them, I don't know who else – like, you're not going to get another big name to come here because they're just not going to be the playing time for it.
Right. You kind of don't want that either. That might ruffle some feathers or mismatch the dominoes a little too much.
What you would probably need is, and there was a guy who was rumored, Jordan Riley was his name. I had him on the list earlier, but he committed to East Carolina earlier today, so he's off the list. But he's kind of like the Deshaun Corpru type, just super athletic, not like a great shooter, not a great passer, just super athletic and hustles hard. And that I was like, that's like a perfect piece to finish off the roster, is just like a athlete, a guy who can go out there, play hard-nosed defense for, you know, stretches of the game.
That's a really good practice guy too.
Oh yeah. We were huge Corporu guys, obviously the SPC connection, but like adding a piece like that would be huge. And so it'll be interesting to see. You know, I've seen some stuff. I don't think the, you know, what we used to do is carry that one spot in case there was a midseason transfer.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if that, like somebody was posting earlier, that's kind of in the past now, most with all the new rule changes and all the transfer stuff that's made available now, that you might not really see that. So we'll be interesting. I would kind of expect us to try to go get a younger guy, younger guy, add some more youth and some more, maybe a foreign guy, maybe another Emily Yalahu type of somebody who might be under the radar, but that'll be my hope. But exciting times right now. You know, it's been slow. It still is kind of slow as we wait on the Toppin news, as we wait on this Jalen Wells news to kind of play out. But we wanted to get back on the mics, kind of talk about that situation, let y'all know what we've been hearing. We're hearing good things on the Toppin front. If that changes, you know, in this day and age, but hopefully that stays true. Hopefully Toppin is a Red Raider here in the future and Jalen Wells follows, and the Red Raiders could be one of the best teams in college basketball. It's crazy to think. would be super fun. Super fun roster put together. But any other basketball stuff you got for us right now?
There's also, I know I said backup a lot, but backup plan really, JT Toppin is Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah.
From Illinois, big man.
It's crazy to say that's a backup plan.
That's our backup plan. And I'm not like bursting any news or bubbles here. People should have known this by now. He was in town same weekend as
last weekend. Or
last weekend. Last weekend. Yeah. Same weekend with Christian Anderson. But
he was kind of kept on the hush hush. It was
hush, but now that the top of news is more surface to the top. Coleman Hawkins is now number two in that list. So if Toppin doesn't work out, hopefully Coleman Hawkins is still there for us. But big stretch four from Illinois, so we can maybe get TJ Shannon to give us a good word if we need it.
Yeah, that's what makes me kind of – it's like, man, I can't believe that's your backup option, a guy who was on Elite Eight team last year.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, that's like your second option. I don't know the seriousness on that, but that's the one thing I do love is that he was teammates with TJ, and TJ still, like, loves Tech to this day.
Right.
And, you know, gives us shout-outs and was
– maybe that's why Coleman started looking at us in the first place.
And so I wonder if TJ's in his ear like, hey, if you got a shot, like, Texas Tech would be a great place for you. And to just think that you can go, if you miss Toppin, that it's like Coleman Hawkins, could be Coleman Hawkins. That's insanity. But, I feel like we're in a really good spot right now. I know there's a lot of panic, especially when, you know, you see other teams getting players that are committing. But this coaching staff knows what they're doing. They know the players that they want. And I really trust the process. I really like JT Toppin.
Yeah, something else I heard, sorry to cut you off there.
No.
Just popped back into my mind. Like you said, the coaching staff knows who they want and they're kind of getting most of the guys they want. Every one of the guys that we've gotten this portal season played in the NCAA tournament last year. Same as what we did last year with getting guys.
Except Elijah Hawkins didn't, but he was in the year before. I can't
remember if he was in at one point. Yes.
He has at one point. But that's a great point. And I think, you know, stuff we heard on Obasor and Trezarian White, it's like we heard like immediately that Osabor wasn't going to be it. And it drug out a little bit longer because he waited to do his commit. But we heard like right after his visit that the coaching staff didn't think
now
it was
you
a
have,
good,
you know, guys that have been here. Well, a couple guys have been here 2 years, but like guys that we heard last year, like, you know, Cambridge and Chance especially, like, really was pushing for Elijah Hawkins. But, like, you have those players that were here last year and can make that connection and give feedback to your coaching staff of, this isn't working for us and whatnot.
Yeah. And we got a text the day after his visit saying that it didn't fit, didn't mesh, and that the coaching staff was off. We didn't say anything. We're not out here in the news.
It was pretty obvious with Great Osabor that he was just chasing the bag. He got it. That's for damn sure. He got $2 million to go to Seattle.
He got it back.
To
follow his coach. That's what they – to follow his coach. You know, we heard pretty quickly right after Trezarian White visit that we're out on that. Not because we couldn't afford him, just we weren't going to match the asking price for him. I don't think we thought that he was – worth the money that TCU is offering. And also we heard that he's more like 6'3 instead of 6'7, which is listed height.
Since we're on this side tangent, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I sent a tweet out after he committed, and just random fact of the day type stuff that, you know, TCU and Jamie Dixon has never had a over 500 record while he's been there in 8 years. So I don't, for the life of me, know why dudes commit there.
I don't
500 at best.
I don't understand either.
That's why I tweeted that out, because it's like, I don't get it.
They've got two like Texas Tech guys that we kind of like looked at, and then we were decided to kind of pass on. Like, I don't know what the, you know,
we've had three coaches in that span of time that have all had way over 500 records.
Last year,
at least more than once.
Last year, going into the season, I would have bet that TCU would have had above 500 record over us, just because of the Jamie Dixon's been there. They got some pretty impressive players. They had just made the tournament a nice little run, and yet somehow,
in
year one of Grant McCaslin, we have a better record. But basketball, I think it's an exciting times. We love McCaslin. I love the roster that he's building out. Everybody wants to look at the pieces. It's the pieces you kept too that are important. Like, what does Darian Williams become from year two to year three? Because we saw him in year two at the end become your best player, by a wide margin. What does he do in year three? What does Chance McMillan become? What does he become? Kerwin, one of the best 3-point shooters in the country, coming back. How does Millie Yolahu develop from year one to year two? We saw some strides from him at the end of the year. So
really
exciting, I think, for Texas Tech basketball, especially if you land a couple more additions. And we'll be back to talk about those additions when they actually happen. Hopefully they do happen. Remember, this is a different day and age we live in. News changes quick, but we feel good about Toppin. Wells a little bit, 50-50 right now. But just pay attention to the people in the know out there and see what they have to say. But let's head over to the Diamond to talk a little bit of Texas Tech baseball right now as they cling to their postseason lives. Well, Dustin, one of the reasons we haven't been on the pod in 3 weeks is because baseball hasn't been playing baseball in the last 3 weeks. Since we last spoke to you guys, the Red Raiders have been swept by Oklahoma. They were two games swept by Oklahoma State as the third game was not played due to weather, which is that third game getting canceled is the only reason that you're still in the Big 12 tournament. Canceling that game clinched your postseason Big 12.
Can't lose if you don't play.
So that kind of helped you. And then you went and got, blasted by Arizona State in two games. And you got one win over the last few weekends against UNLV, which you had to walk off in the ninth inning because you had a 12-9 lead, gave up three runs to let UNLV tie it in the ninth. And then you were able to at least get the 13-12 win. So baseball hadn't really been worth talking about. It's been pretty much dog shit over the end of the month. Everybody on Twitter feels the same. It has not been fun watching the squad. Before we get to the Big 12 tournament side of things, Dustin, just talk to me about your experience with Texas Tech baseball over what's been the worst month of play under the Tim Tadlock era.
Yeah, you had chances to play yourself in a better situations, and you, the last month, have just opted to not do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't even close losses. It is blowout ass kickings. Like, I text you last week during the week, you see the Arizona State baseball game, you're like, I didn't even know they were playing. Or
I thought the season was done.
I see you scored. It was like 15-5.
I was like 21-5.
Yeah. So it's like, man, this is stupid. But hey, here they are still in the winner's bracket of the Big 12 tournament somehow.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting season because, like, you started the season pretty well. I thought, competed against Tennessee, you beat Oregon, you beat Nebraska. Your non-con was pretty solid. And then you got to that UT weekend where they pummeled you in game one. And then kind of your concerns started to rise a little bit there. And been kind of just a bumpy Big 12 season where it's like every time you feel like you maybe figured it out, you got that sweep against West Virginia. We're like, all right, maybe here we go. And then out against New Mexico, swept by Kansas, and just kind of plummeted. The pitching obviously hasn't been there. Your offense hasn't really been there either. It hasn't been able to rely on.
Nope.
And so it's a interesting team. It's a interesting offseason that's ahead of you. What changes do you make? Gardner is the big name that's on the chopping block. I'm sure every fan will be calling for his head at the end of the season. If that is not changed, there will be a lot of concern heading into next year as your pitching hasn't been good for the last handful of years. And so it'll be interesting to see. But our season, as we speak right now, is still currently somehow alive. I just think of Spider-Man 2 where he's trying to stop the train. I'm talking about with Tobey Maguire, and he's trying to hold on and stop the train. That's us trying to cling to our postseason life. The only way the Red Raiders can make it to the NCAA tournament is by winning the Big 12 tournament. And so last night, Of course, you're paired with the University of Texas, who, as it's been well noted, has beat you in everything this final year, especially in the last times that you're playing them. They have the eternal scoreboard on you. And so not looking forward to a Tech Texas meeting. But Dustin, what happens in the ninth inning?
Well, to be honest, I wasn't even going to watch this game because, yeah, like we just mentioned, how much we have lost interest over the last month. Let's just get this season over with and move on and continue with basketball news and whatnot. I was watching Netflix for a few hours, finished my show about, 11:50 last night. The game's still going. I checked Twitter. It's going to the ninth inning, tied up. As soon as I tune in, one pitch, Cade McGee hammers a ball. And it sounds like it explodes because there's not that many people in Rangers ballpark.
It's an empty arena.
So it sounds really loud, and he crushed one to get us up 6-4. And then he also made the play from third base, barehanding a kind of little squibbler up the middle. It could have got a guy on for Texas and maybe extended or started a run for him. Makes a nice barehanded play to end the game for him. So that's just magical, really. I mean, I know earlier in the game we had a 3-run home run to tie the game Austin from Green, 4-1 to 4-4. And really just to hold on, because that's our biggest weakness is once we get to the bullpen. I know Kyle Robinson pitched 6 really good innings, but hold on and then clutch plays in the ninth with clutch offense and defense. And seen that in a few years from this Texas Tech team. But yeah, now they move on to play Oklahoma State on Wednesday night.
And breaking news now, we have the eternal scoreboard on Texas Tech, Texas baseball. The last meeting as conference foes as Cincinnati takes down UT in the Big 12 tournament. So
let's go.
If Texas Tech loses tonight to Oklahoma State, which hopefully they don't, we would play Cincy instead of Texas. Texas eliminated from their final Big 12 tournament. Last night's game. So you can say in one sport, Texas Tech got the final victory over Texas as conference foes. So a big swing from Cade McGee that will live in Texas Tech lore as we needed that one. You needed at least one sport where you could end on a bright note and you hit it there with your backs against the walls. So, you know, we'll see what happens this tournament. You know, you can play yourself into the NCAA tournament by winning this thing. And maybe the pieces fall into place here. I don't know. It's been a weird team. Haven't been able to trust really any part of your team from defense to offense to pitching to closing pitching. It's just been a pretty brutal end here. And so see what the Red Raiders do here to close out the Big 12 tournament in Arlington. Go ahead.
Can we talk about the Big 12 tournament bracket?
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. Like, I haven't paid attention to shit because, like, I've been tuned out. I looked at the bracket today and I was like, it took me about 10 minutes to figure out what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, I'll try to do my best to explain this thing. Top half is a 5-team bracket. Bottom half is a 5-team bracket. You play that side of your bracket to the end. But a 5-team bracket doesn't work very straight. So basically we played an opening game yesterday, but Oklahoma State is still hanging out there and we got to play them.
They're the bye seed in our part of the bracket.
Yeah. Basically a second first round game for us. The lower seed has to play the high seed and we were automatically going to do that if we won. But the other crazy part is, the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds all won yesterday. Yeah. So that means 3, 4, 5, and 6 all lost and went to their losers bracket. And so that's why number 3 Texas is out now on the second day of the tournament. Didn't win.
West Virginia's out.
But number 9 TCU, they get number 1 Oklahoma today as well. And we get number 2. But that means number 8 UCF.
Yeah.
Goes to the.
It's like a bye now.
They get a day off at least. Number 7 Kansas gets a bye because of the number 9 on that side. It's really weird if you don't understand brackets. I got it right away, but I've never seen something like it. So I was like,
yeah.
Whew.
I didn't know that it was like the NFL kind of thing, like y'all said, where the lowest possible seed will play the you know, the top seed in that region. I didn't know that. So when I first started looking at the bracket, I was today when I saw all the additions, I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, pretty crazy to look at.
Because like when you look at it from the graphics standpoint, it's Cincinnati, UCF, Texas Tech. And then it looks like the winner of the UCF Cincy game is Texas Tech.
Things crisscross in there. Yeah. And the same thing happened on the top too.
Yeah, yeah.
Kansas moving on, and then number 9 TCU moving up.
So it would have been easier to decipher if all the top seeds had won. So y'all helped to explain that to me. But like I said, I've been out on this baseball team for a little while, so. Today was like my first day of like, all right, we won, so what's ahead of us? And then I looked at the bracket, and that caused a little bit of confusion. But that's where we're at baseball-wise. If, we'll be I don't know if I'm going to watch the game tonight. It seemed to work out. I didn't watch the game last night. It seemed to work out that, I was watching Pacers choke that game away instead of Tech Baseball. Tech Baseball gets the win. So maybe have to keep rolling with not watching. But let's head over. We haven't talked about this sport in quite some time. It's Texas Tech football. So we're going to just do a little off-season check-in right quick, just kind of where our thoughts are at as, we're still in the long off-season. We are almost 100 days away from football season starting. So we're going to do a little gridiron check-in here.
Somebody turn on some damn music!
Well, Dustin, as I mentioned, May 23rd, the day that you guys are listening to this episode, is officially 100 days out from Texas Tech's football season getting started. And so we just wanted to do a quick check-in to see how we're feeling about the upcoming 24 Texas Tech Red Raider football team. So, Dustin, I'll kick it over to you to lead us off here. About 100 days away, how are we feeling right now?
Still feel pretty good. I mean, most of your roster through the spring stayed intact. He lost a few guys, a few running backs, but I think that was them seeing where they fell on the depth chart and went to go get other positions. And if you followed up with them, they went lower level for that. They didn't, jump ship to TCU or, cross conference type stuff. So that makes you feel good. We also even snuck in a offensive line transfer a couple weeks ago, who should be really solid. I think Mississippi State. I can't think of it. I was trying to pull it up. Didn't have enough time.
Yeah, he was South Carolina, I think.
There we go. I was close. I knew it was SEC, and I had the colors pretty right. you get an SEC lineman who's got a little experience to bring in, and need to boost your O-line just more and have depth. So that was really good to see. So I've only heard good things besides, that stuff.
Yeah, I'm approaching this offseason a lot different than I did last season.
Yes.
You will not hear or see me drinking any Kool-Aid coming into this next season. I think last season was such a disappointment, starting off with the Wyoming, Tyler Shaw getting hurt, Barron getting hurt because we decided to run a quarterback power after he already watched one of your quarterbacks break his leg in half.
Yeah.
I thought last year was really just mismanaged on a lot of fronts. And so I'm just like trying to be, I'm just going to be super cautious until, I've said it on this podcast, I don't know how many times, but we have not won more than 7 games since 2008, like since the Crabtree year, we have not won more than 8 game or 7 games in a regular season since then. And so like, I'm just kind of in prove it mode. I'm tired of, getting optimistic and then having that, shot down. So I'm trying to read between the lines on things. I think Joey's been a lot more quiet so far this offseason.
Sure.
And I do appreciate that. I think a lot of what he said last year kind of bit him in the ass. And so I think he's taking a much more different approach to this offseason, which I do appreciate. you know, Zach Kittley. I still don't know how I feel about that. You know, Juice Johnson, our wide receiver coach. I don't know how I feel about that either. We've got some obviously really good receivers coming in. And so this year, like for me, it's like Kittley's got to prove it. These wide receivers got to go out there, show out. This offense has got to be more balanced. It can't just be the Taj Brooks show. Even though I love Taj Brooks, it's got to be more willing to attack. And so I'm just not going to drink any Kool-Aid. I'm going to be really cautious. I really don't know how I feel, honestly, right now. It's just kind of hopeful that Joey can do it because I love the man. I think he's a great coach, and I think he's a great representative for this university. I just want it to work out.
Yeah, I thought about you the other day when I was seeing, you know, unnecessary roughness from Barstool College Football Podcast. Mm-hmm. They were talking about the Big 12 and obviously brought us up in there. And her name's Casey. I don't know her last name off the top of my head. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
She's an A&M girl, but she knows her stuff really well. But she was drinking the Kool-Aid, literally said drinking the Kool-Aid. And I just thought of you because Brandon Walker said, like,
yeah,
they haven't proven anything. And I'm like, that's exactly what Brooks has been saying.
I'm aligned with him. Yeah, I saw Barstool tweeted out kind of some of their quotes from that.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I love the man. I think he's a great program. What word am I thinking of here? Good advertiser, good, you know, puts good vibes out there. The guy you want to grab a beer with, he does all those things, but he just hasn't proved it. You know, we had that first year, which was exciting, but last year was such a gigantic letdown to me that I just don't know how to, I just don't know where I'm at right now. You know, I want us to be good, but I'm like, is it too good to be true? The decision makings, you know, I think, you know, I've seen a lot of tech accounts already like, oh, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid again. I'm like, why?
Be wary. Just if you are dabbling in the Kool-Aid, just sip on it a little bit. Don't chug it.
Little sips. Don't shotgun it. Obviously just take some sips, enjoy it. You know, I'm not going to be mad at anybody for drinking the Kool-Aid. Like that's what Joey McGuire is. Like
being
he's a
fan.
Good salesman on that.
Also,
like,
yeah. That too.
Like he's great at making you believe. Like that's what he did to us all last offseason. We're like, obviously, yeah. Like it all made sense what he's saying. Yeah. I'm not saying anything he said last offseason didn't make sense. That's what it added up. And then it just like immediately backfired on you in the Wyoming game. And so that's where I approach it. And the other reason I'm going to approach with more caution is the Baron Morton news that we have been hearing is we're not really sure what his shoulder is doing. We're not really sure the status of his injury. And so that also makes me super nervous. We haven't had a quarterback healthier in God knows how long since Patrick Mahomes played at this university. And that he's won 3 Super Bowls since. So, where are you at on Baron Morton right now and his injury concerns, as it seems like this is something that's really lingered as the season ended in December and we're still talking about it here in May?
The latest news came out this week or weekend was he went to the East Coast and saw a specialist about it. So that doesn't make me feel good. That we are still many months post-surgery and tried to do spring practice and now we're going to see a specialist again. Like when we're, I don't know, 6 weeks probably away from fall camp starting, something like that. I don't know. Like pretty
not
close
all,
to
it's
that.
Not far. August is
2 months away from it, at least, you know. And I don't want to have to rely on true freshman Will Hammond, even though I'm hearing good things on that front, but I'd rather Baron, who's been here for a few years and we've seen good flashes of it, get to go out there healthy. But yeah, it's worrisome for sure.
That's the other to me, like Baron has just been mismanaged and
no doubt.
Like with our injury luck, I'm fucking scared like that. We're going to get to August and they're going to announce they're going to keep it on wraps and then game one. we're going to see that JUCO kid, Cameron Brown or whatever, come out there, and he's going to be the starter for you in game one. And
this Bear thing's
just never gonna work out. I cannot say enough how big a mistake it was for Zach Kittley, and this is why it's going to take a lot for him for me to get on his side. Is you run a quarterback power when you're already on your backup quarterback and you hurt his shoulder. That is not talked about enough in this Texas Tech anything. It is not talked about. Everybody's just like, why didn't he get surgery? Why did we run a quarterback power with your second string quarterback after your first string quarterback already broke his leg in the same game? I don't want to go down that road again, but it's just like it's so frustrating. And I feel bad for Barron, because from what we've heard, like, doctors have looked at it. They're not really sure what to do. They don't know if he needs surgery. They don't know if he needs rest. I don't understand why he started off spring camp like throwing and then all of a sudden was shut down. I don't understand why it wasn't immediately addressed at the end of season. I don't know why it wasn't immediately addressed before the bowl game. I would have sat him out the bowl game. Like, at this point, like, did we really need to beat Cal that bad? It was already a lost season anyway. That's frustrating. And so that's probably like 75% of the reason that I'm really like kind of down on this season.
Yeah. That's a good reason to be wary of the team and season as a whole, because your quarterback is a lot.
And we've put all of our resources into Barron being the guy. You didn't go out and get another, there was some high profile. There were some good quarterbacks out there on the transfer portal market that you could have gone and went after, but you didn't. This team was Barron's. Joey said that from pretty much as soon as he took over. And now you're putting all your chips into a guy who might not even be able to throw the football for you next year. And so, sure, he might be fine. I'm approaching this with the knowledge that we haven't had a healthy quarterback in 7 years.
Nope.
So my gut tells me we're not going to have a healthy quarterback for year eight, any other Barron Morton stuff or quarterback related stuff that you're thinking?
Nope.
Sorry, I went off on my little tangent there. But
that's good.
That's how I'm feeling right now, some things in the positive side of Texas Tech football is the stadium progress looks great. Have you seen like the photos and stuff of the south end zone coming along?
It's looking really good and getting close, which is a good thing that it's probably on time. But the biggest addition was the, on top of the double T scoreboard, a giant Texas Tech in black and white that looks really great.
Oh, yeah.
To highlight, kind of accent that double T scoreboard.
Yeah, the photos look great. Like, Joey posts a photo basically every day. Like, good morning.
Every day. Love it.
Good photo shot of it. It looks beautiful. It's going to be beautiful once it's done. I can't wait for game one when it's, hopefully at its completion and just kind of getting to see that and the vibe of the stadium with it. So that's really cool. And the last college football thing we got to talk about is we're both super excited for this. It's been 10 years, 10 years since we have last been able to purchase a brand new college football game. And what was it last week? Last week, the College Football 25 trailer dropped. We've been waiting for this for forever, and boy, was it beautiful. It was beautiful. Did you get goosebumps watching that trailer? Because I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, amazing. We kind of forget. Well, I don't, because I still play NCAA 14 to this day. But just the trailer of stuff that they just like cut through players and hits and different stadiums and mascots is always so sick.
Oh, this is so good. And like, you can see the additions of like turnover chains and turnover dunking and little things that they've added to the game. The game, like the small clips of the gameplay, look fantastic. It looks like the graphics are better, and it's the same old beautiful video game that we got to play. I hope that's what it is. I've seen some stuff about like it might be a little bit more like Madden, which I don't want.
I've heard no. I've heard they're treating this like its own game, and whatnot, not like an extension of Madden with the same stuff just plugged in over here with, you know, Texas Tech and A&M uniforms on.
It's, yeah, don't do so, that.
But now I need to get a PS5 is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to do that. It's going to be an expensive game for you. I already have the proper Xbox.
And then the game is already $60 or $150, depending on which one you want to get.
You ball out on this game? Because I've never been this excited for
a lot of Ultimate Team in there that the internet is not happy about.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because we just want Dynasty Mode. That's all we want. And Mascot Mode, they took that away from us.
All I want is Road to Glory so I can create my player, and then I want Dynasty Mode, and I want to be able to like start off as like an offensive coordinator somewhere and work my way through the ranks and get, you know, my head coaching job.
Yeah, you'll get all that stuff. There was Ultimate Team also, which our generations don't care about all that.
That was what I saw, and I was like, oh, Madden does that Ultimate Team shit. Madden. I don't care about Ultimate Team, you know? Like, I don't want that on my... I liked when, you know, a couple of the games did like big college football moments that you could go play.
Yeah, those were fun, like scenarios you could play through. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember that part?
Yeah.
Where it'd be like, all right, you get to be Texas Tech in 2008. You have 30 seconds to drive down the field to score. Here you go. And it just pops you right into that moment. You don't play the whole game. You're just already Graham Harrell in the 30 seconds.
You're ready.
So, like, those are pretty sick, but I don't know what those are going to be in there.
What else are you excited for with this game coming back? And like, I'm sure just, I can't wait for like the Twitter once this game comes out and all the videos and crazy stuff that's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been so long. And like, honestly, I never played online Dynasty stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of behind times in that. And like, I didn't get this 2014 game till later. Yeah. And it's too old to do that with anymore. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, is getting in on that type of stuff and seeing how it goes.
Yeah, me too. I think I did like one online Dynasty back with like one of my buddies. We would just, and you know, it was fun. But, you know, I've already got a group of friends that are like, oh, we're going to do an online Dynasty and we're going to, I'll pick a team in the same conference. And, you know, there's going to be so much of that. It's going to be so much fun being able to hop in and do that. What's the first thing that you're going to do, though, when you get your eventual PS5 and get this game? What's the first thing that you were going to do?
I think I just got to play a game as Tech. Like, just a straight-up game.
Yeah.
Getting it out of the stadium type deal. Play some low-level team so I can just smash their ass 99-2.
First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go into Dynasty Mode. I'm going to start off as Texas Tech. And...
I gotta get one game out of me first, and then get in on that. Either make it a player.
That's the first game of the football season. What is it? Who are you playing? North Texas or Abilene Christian?
Wyoming, get some revenge.
We're playing like Abilene Christian for our first game. I think that's like I can go in and smash them in. I'm looking forward to the players being in this. Like coming from our generation of the old game, like you know, I don't know if you ever did this, but I would do this like back when. Like I got tired of doing it, but I'd go and I would make the entire roster. I would go through and change every player's to their name.
I would change a few, but not everyone. But like,
I wouldn't like the far guys down, but like all my starters, I had their names.
I know the number 5 guy that's wide receiver is not Leon Williams, you know,
or just
I know that's
number, or you could just leave it as like number 5.
So, yeah. And that would suck when you like, yeah, it would be like numbers, and then you'd recruit guys that actually had names. That always pissed me off.
Yeah. Weird wide receiver. What I'll first do is I will, and I've already got this planned. I was like, I'm going to do a Dynasty with Tech.
Yep, got
to. I'm going to do Road to Glory as like a quarterback or something, and then I'll figure out what school I want to go to. I might not do Tech there because I don't want everything to be Tech. I like to spread it out and kind of feel.
You also might not have an option to go to Tech.
Yeah. But also, I want to do a Dynasty and get all the conferences back to what they were back
in the good old days. Loved realigning conferences and like making a Southwest conference and like throwing LSU in there, like making a Louisiana.
I'm going back to the Big 12, like from 2008. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make the everything like back to where it was. And
Mizzou's coming back.
All Colorado's right. back, even though they are back. Texas OU.
I spent a lot of time doing that on the old game too, is like realigning all these things.
I wonder if they'll make you let you make like, I wonder if they'll let you make like super conferences. Like what if we can just do two huge conferences of like Big Ten, SEC, and we just put like,
I don't know. They need to
30
make it way more. Mobile.
I'm looking forward to all of it. Of course, you know, yeah, NIL now. I'm very curious how
transfer portal, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm very curious how that stuff will be done. But yeah, can't wait. July, what, 13th, I think, is when it comes out. 15th or something like that. I am going to be, it's like right after my busy work stuff ends.
Even better.
We're just going to be like locked in on that, doing Dynasties Road to Glory. Can't wait. The world has needed this. I'm so glad NIL happened so we can have this back in our lives. Most beautiful video game trailer I've seen in a while. But all right, we went in on that. Any other college football game details you want to talk about? That was fun.
Nah, that was good.
That was good. Maybe like before, like the week before, we do like one of our shot bet drafts on things that we're excited for in the game or something like that. Well, maybe after like the best parts of the new game, we can do a draft after it.
Yeah, for sure.
But all right. Well, before we get out of here for the week, Dustin, the long-awaited Bananas and Rangers game weekend that you had.
Yeah, this last weekend went to Oklahoma City for a Savannah Bananas and Party Animals game. And he had some Party Animals merch. I already had some Bananas gear that I wore, but
it's to pause for a moment. It's still like crazy to me that our friend Shelby, you might know her from the Sing Scarlet podcast, sent Dustin this Savannah Banana hat like 10 years ago, almost
6 years ago. I bet
way before the Savannah Bananas were what they are now. So that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I definitely texted her. Got a picture with the owner in his yellow suit. He's walking the concourse, just snagged him real quick. But if you get a chance to go to a Bananas game, go, because it was by far the best, funnest thing ever. Like, not even just sports thing ever. Like, by far the best sports thing ever, but one of the best events ever.
Like a show, right?
Yeah. It was the best way to describe it is it's like going to a concert and a dance thing, like theater type thing, and a circus with baseball in the background.
Yeah.
Because the baseball's still there. It's still mostly real. They're still trying to get guys to strike out and hits and score. But obviously there's some crazy rules in there, and they're really skillful. They're bouncing the ball. The first baseman, half his catches he made between the legs. That's impressive as hell.
Who won the game, the Party Animals or the Bananas?
The Bananas won this one. So that was good. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not like the Harlem Globetrotters that win every game. Party Animals win sometimes.
From my understanding, they're all Bananas players. They pick which ones are playing for the Bananas and Party Animals each game, right?
I think they stay on the same teams all year, but they're all like the same.
Right.
Yeah. Stilts, the guy on stilts, he played and he pitched. He's on his stilts the whole damn game, walking around. He came out of the stands and like walked down the stands with a boombox on and like came and took the ball and pitched to a guy, got an out. And he's like stepping off the mound in his stilts to throw. Like, very impressive.
I wish... What's a pop up to him? Just a line drive.
Line drive. Just like, all right. But yeah, it was honestly like, and the game is 2 hours. Introductions take 30 minutes alone. I mean, they make it a whole scene. Even we got in there an hour before, they're doing stuff. Guys that were playing in the game were walking on microphones, playing some games with people and whatnot. It's not like it was their off day and they were doing this and like, introductions took 30 minutes and game took a long time. And the OU softball girl, she played, got some big pops out of her. She had the sickest entrance of anybody. One inning, she came in from right field, and they did this big Moana-type entrance with music. It was pretty sick. yeah, so many things. And, like, every other inning, there's, like, a group dance that every player's doing, lead. You get involved. There's music playing nonstop, like, while the game's going. I'm like,
it's like an NBA game.
And we got out of there and went to a bar nearby. I was like, I'm worn out. And I didn't even play.
You actually had to spend some energy at the game instead of just watching it, you know?
Yeah, it was amazing, dude. Like,
that's fun.
I just told everybody that's asked and that I went, when I went, and I was like, you need to go. You got to go. It's amazing. It's fun. Everybody's involved. The owner, he's up there at the microphone leading stuff. There's games going on. It's crazy. It's amazing.
I'm sure Bricktown was a really cool park to see that in too. Like,
yeah, really cool park. 10,000 seats sold out 3 straight nights. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, and then went to a Rangers game on Sunday. So I haven't been to the new stadium yet, and it was way more boring. Now that you've been to a Bananas game, there's so much going on. You don't want to leave your seat ever. Like, we maybe watched half the game at Rangers. Like, we were walking around. We had to go to the store. We had to go find the beer bats. We had to go get the boomstick triple play. That was sick. Plate of nachos, like, burger that was, like, on a sub bun, and then a good foot-long, at least, sausage-on-a-bun type hot dog. Beer bats, got this sick Josh Young gold thing.
Yeah, those are the sickest. Yeah, I'm jealous of that.
With the World Series patch. Yeah, we're going through the store, and I just, like, didn't love anything. They didn't really have many t-shirts, like Josh Young shirts, and I was like, I guess I'm just going to have to fork up the money for the jersey. I don't have a baseball jersey.
Yeah.
It's worth it with the gold trim and Josh Young on it, you know. So, really fun. But yeah, we probably only watched half the game because it was way more boring than going to a Bananas game. So, yeah, my advice, if you ever get a chance,
baseball for you, the Savannah Bananas.
Go to a Bananas game for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely like a bucket list item. We were invited, but we're going out of town next weekend, so he couldn't do like the back-to-back weekend trips. But yeah, jealous. That looked like a lot of fun. I'm definitely curious to see what one of those games is like, and I'm sure it would ruin baseball for me. Somehow the Rangers would lose if I was at the Savannah Bananas game. I don't know how that would be possible, but Rangers don't want tailgate talks in the house for some reason. I don't know what the curse is, but you know, still can't find a win. My final shot, you know, back to the NBA playoffs. While you said, you know, the Rangers did lose, but it is a hot, hot sports year for the Dallas area as the Dallas Mavericks Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
You got the Dallas Stars in the conference finals in hockey. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves knocking off the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets, at Denver, down by 20 points in game 7.
Didn't see that.
While Ant shot 6 for 24 from the field. Who would have thunk it? That was crazy. You know, Celtics obviously dispatched of the Cavs. You had Pacers blow out the Knicks in the Garden on game 7.
Yeah, I did.
The conference finals have just gotten started. Me and Dustin were texting last night while the Pacers choked away game 1 of that Celtics-Pacers series. And, man, wasn't that the, like, stupidest end of the game that you've ever seen? Like, I don't know if I've seen a team, like, choke a game away like that in my, like, lifetime. To where 30 seconds left, you got the ball twice to close out the game up 3. You turn it over twice. And somehow, you know, the Jaylen Brown shot that he hit was incredible. Like, that was a tough shot. Great defense by Siakam. He just made that shot. But the fact that they even were having a chance to shoot a game-tying 3 when you had the ball with 10 seconds left, stupid. I'm so mad at the Pacers right now. I'm so mad at Halliburton. I'm so mad at all of those guys.
Yeah, they let one slip away for sure. If you're Boston, you feel lucky that you snuck that one out. You should have lost game 1 at home. Yeah, I'm surprised that the Timberwolves came back and ended up beating the Nuggets. Because Nuggets haven't really been challenged in a year and a half, really. And like you said, the Dallas team's stars are going conference finals. They've been there two or three or four times in the last handful of years. And Mavericks are there, what, back-to-back or two of the last 3 years?
Two of the last three. They didn't make it last year, but they were there the year before.
So. They did, yeah. So, like, they've been knocking on the door as well. And it's kind of anybody's game at this point, especially after seeing Boston almost fumble the bag first game.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I was curious about – I wasn't sure if the Celtics would – you know, I think they're going to win the series. Indiana's offense is such a unique offense that I thought they might have a chance to steal a game or two. I ultimately see this being like Celtics in six, maybe five now, because the Pacers blew their shot at stealing that game. I don't know how they bounce back from that right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's an interesting series. The Knicks, unfortunately, like, had too many injuries to overcome. Like, that wouldn't have been fun. No. If, like, for New York fans, it would have been awesome to see them make this, but Celtics would have just blown them out because they have nobody healthy. So I thought the Pacers are like, all right, they're at least healthy enough to give them. But, you know, the Mavs and Timberwolves is a hell of an exciting series. I think right now Timberwolves are up six at half. You get two of the best young players in the league, and Luka, it is 62-59 at the end of the first half. Timberwolves up right now. You get Ant versus Luka. Like, Ant's really coming into his own right now. 22 years old. Didn't have that best game seven, but, you know, this team is they got such an impressive defense. You know, Kat played a pretty good game. Got Naz Reid coming off the bench, who's incredible. Rudy Gobert's been serviceable for this postseason so far. We'll see if he's serviceable in this Western Conference Finals. But they're a really fun squad. Mike Conley, who's like just a really likable player, I think, in terms of NBA players, like, he has a pretty positive rating. Nobody's like, man, I really fucking hate Mike Conley. And then on the Maverick side, like, Luka and Kyrie, like, man, it's been since the Cavs won a championship since we've had a drama-free Kyrie season. And he seems to mesh well with Luka, and you have two guys who can attack and go get you buckets whenever you need it. You got Derek Lively, who's like that game six that he had against Oklahoma City to in the closeout game. He was so good. He was incredible. You got PJ Washington, who the Mavs traded for, who's been
unreal. He's the best player out of nowhere.
He's become one of the best shooters. Like, he's been great. You've just, you know, you got Luka, who's a little banged up, but still, you got to be scared of him. And so, really fun conference finals. Do you think the Mavs get out? Do you think the Mavs beat the Timberwolves, or who do you got here?
Yeah, I think in the West, that's a toss-up. Could go seven. Should go seven.
I think it goes seven. Yeah, that would be my prediction.
If it doesn't, it's a six with a lot of close game type stuff, but, like, I think that's a toss-up, to be honest. I couldn't tell you. The Celtics should get out of the East. Wouldn't surprise me if Dallas wins it with two great players that they got with experience. And it wouldn't surprise me if the young guys in Minnesota pull it out just because they're dogs and won it a lot.
Yeah, for me, I'm not a Mavs. I'm a LeBron fan, so wherever he's at. But for me – well, like, I like both of these teams in the West. I like Ant. I like Luka. I would love to see either one of them get their first shot at their title.
Yeah.
I'm kind of pushing for Luka because, you know, he's obviously a little bit older. I think Ant's going to get his chance. He's going to get his chance. So my hope is that the Mavs get there and, like, Luka gets his chance. I think Mavs Celtics would be really fun, but hey, if Ant gets there, I'm not going to be upset about it. I think Timberwolves Celtics would be a really fun series. So that's really what I'm hoping for, is just a fun finals. Last year's finals was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Nuggets and Heat.
And you're going to get Tatum, Ant, Halliburton, Luka, a very young, up-and-coming star with their first title.
A young cast of stars. Yeah. That's like, who's next? You know, who ultimately wants it? And that's what I'm really curious about. Like,
and that's the other thing that, you know, you're out with the old. There's no KD, no LeBron, no Steph. They're out the door pretty much almost with their careers. But
dude, That's what I was going to say. Like,
the next group is here.
You're LeBron, like, hey, do I really, like, if you run this back with AD and the Lakers, like, what are you doing? Because you got the Mavs, who are obviously going to be good. Timberwolves are going to get better.
Denver's still really 22. Good.
Denver's still really good. Spurs are coming with Wembanyama. Like, that's going to happen at some point. Oklahoma City was the youngest team to ever be a one seed. They're only going to get better.
Pelicans.
Like, there's so many good teams in that. Like, can you really, if you had to predict next year, the Lakers run it back, they're probably a play-in team again.
Yeah.
If that. Like, so I think it's a really good spot for the NBA right now with the young talent. And just, like, whoever wins here, whoever comes out on top, like, now you're going to be like, all right, can Ant get 2, 3, 4? Can Luka get 2, 3? Like, and so I think this is a fun, it might not be like the biggest market teams. You know, obviously you got Boston and Dallas, who are bigger markets.
I always like how Dallas is never in the big market conversation.
They're right up there with everybody else.
Yeah.
And so great time for Dallas sports. Like, you got, and thank God that the games are staggered. Cause so you got Mavs tonight.
Did you see the tweet? You should have 2 straight weeks starting tonight of a Mavericks or Stars game. If we go 7, 2 straight weeks of a game every day. And yeah, thank God they're on alternate days, because watching same days, same times was rough.
It was rough. And they're like, are the Stars at home to start this?
Yeah.
Probably look. I think Stars are at home.
Yeah, Mavs, so you should also be able to get a home game.
So that's also a little bit staggered too. So that kind of works out great for the city of Dallas, and will be fun. We'll
tickets
be fun
for I think it's tickets for the Mavericks game next week was upper deck was about $350 so.
Dude, I saw the most ridiculous post on Facebook. It was like somebody that I knew from years back. He was like, anybody have a connect that can get me 13 tickets for the Mavs game? Like, I don't know, kind of cheap. I was like, are you
13? That's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Hell no.
Nobody
right
in the
now.
World has that connect except for Mark Cuban. Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to need to wait till they are playing freaking Memphis Charlotte Hornets on a Tuesday night next year.
I was like, wow, what a bold ask. And of course, nobody responded because nobody knows anybody who can get you.
Stars tickets were about 200 for upper deck. Mavericks were well over 300 for upper deck.
Been a good time for Dallas sports. If only the football team could get it going.
They suck.
Holding it down over there. But yeah, any other sporting things you got to talk about this week?
We covered a lot.
Yeah. Been about 3 weeks, so this was going to be a little bit of a longer episode because we just got so much that we had to discuss, and so I thought that this was a pretty fun episode, getting to get hyped up about possibilities for basketball, baseball clinging on to their postseason lives, and a little football talk with the college football game trailer dropping. But that'll do it for us here this week at Tailgate Talks. You know, the next time we record, we'll see. Maybe, hopefully, we have some topping news. Hopefully, we have some stuff to maybe get us back next week to hop back on the mics. But, you know, depending on the news and stuff, we'll be off and on throughout this summer. But to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks, please give us a follow. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. 5 stars for the tailgate. And if you follow us on social media, we'd appreciate that as well. Follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting and interacting on social media. However, we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. And as always, we'll catch y'all at the next tailgate party animal.